Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Eurofolk Radio is on the air, we hope. Pastor Eli James on the road in rural Arkansas-Missouri border country, Christian Identity Central worldwide. A lot of identity folks down here.
Had a great hanging out with my fellow hillbillies.
Arkansas Razorbacks and Missouri Hicks. Great fun, folks. Great fun. So, how are we doing?
I only got one thing to say.
Okay. Yeah. What does that mean, Pastor Steve?
Right.
So,
he's got another one.
Yeah.
Long range.
Another one down. I thought you were talking about fish.
But, yeah, we've had some internet problems. Eli has been out in the hinterlands.
Yes.
God bless the hinterlands.
It's we're going
to
be.
It's a place to live, but you just don't get good internet way out yonder.
That's right.
So, Swamp Fox says the Ozarks rock.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, he was at the meeting yesterday. Hi. Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. Very good. So, with all of the internet problems that David James has had, he's working on it. I was hoping to use his cell phone hotspot, because his cell phone works fine where he's living. But he didn't know how to access the hotspot, and so he finally found the password for that. And so next time I'm there, we should be able to do a show from his place, even though his internet service is not very good. But his hotspot may do the trick. So we'll find out the next time I'm at his place. Okay. So anyway,
you got to put up one of them 5G dishes out there and just melt everything gets in the
right.
way.
Yeah, right.
Burn a hole through all the trees and all the neighbors' houses and just
And I found out that the state bird of Arkansas is the tick.
Yes.
And behind his house, he's basically got scrubland and. Chiggers. He went behind
chiggers
there.
And ticks, yeah,
he came back with a load of chiggers and ticks, right? So this is the wrong time of year for that, I guess.
Well, you got to spray yourself, and that way you get ticked off, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, all right. So we're coming through. Very good. Oh, there's clicking. Sorry, Israelite one. It's my headset. I have to get a new headset. Yeah, tiggers and chicks.
Tiggers and chicks. Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and if you type it, it comes over.
Right.
When you type it, it's thumpity thump 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 thump.
Right. Yeah. So I'll try to keep my hands off the keyboard. So, but I do have to switch back and forth between the text and the chat room. I'll do my best to keep the noise down. All right. So. Pastor Steve, we were in 1 Maccabees chapter 9, I believe, verse 32.
That will be where we were supposed to do that last week, but things just didn't work out.
People
need to be patient. Look, this is a volunteer outfit, and we do the best we can.
Yeah, we get what we pay for.
we're worth everything that they pay us.
Yeah, right, exactly. So... this book of Maccabees is worth repeating. All these apocryphal books, the shows we've done on the Apocrypha, have proven that these texts are absolute scripture. Absolute scripture.
Eli's keyboard is the elephant in the room. I love that chat.
Yeah. Well, it's a black elephant, not a pink elephant.
I got my katana in from Swords, Knives, and Daggers. I advertise for them on my website where you can get good blades at a reasonable price if y'all like blades. I'm a blade guy. I've been into martial arts for many, many years. I can do Viking style, and then I do the Oriental style, like you used to see on, what was that show? Highlander. That guy did all that Japanese. Wow. Well, I do all that stuff, plus karate and a bunch of other stupid stuff.
Was that David Carradine?
No. Highlander. That was Christopher Lambert at first.
Oh.
And then there was another guy that played, he had a whole big TV series that just went on forever.
Right.
But he was really good with a sword.
Okay.
And then I watch a lot of Chopsocky flicks.
Right.
Not necessarily for the content, but just for the sword instruction, because some of those guys are really masters.
Well, didn't David Carradine do some kind of ninja warrior?
He did a kung fu thing, and he had to learn some stuff.
Uh-huh.
But he was just strictly an actor.
Right. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
These a lot of these other guys are way, way, way more advanced. They hire them because they're karate guys.
Yeah. So what's the name of that company? Knives, clubs, and bazookas?
Yeah.
Where you get these swords from? Edomites beware. By the way, everybody listening, I'm sure you're aware by now that YouTube has taken our site down, and so we can no longer post our videos. And the last two clips that they really objected to were the parasites in human form, right? Because we all know that Jews are parasites in human form, and so they objected to that.
Parasites.
And David James and I were joking around while we were working. We try to invent new terms for Jew so that keep them off our trail. And so one is the Pharisites. That was a good one. Roger Sales, I think, invented that term. And then we got Ferengi, right? Space Jews.
Yeah.
But
that's good.
They've been catching on to our terminology, right? So they look for those words now. And the first trick we used was respelling the word Jew, J-E-W, to J-O-O, right? Because what they have a computer. And it's a computer that looks around for these buzzwords. So it finds J-E-W and says, uh-oh, these are probably anti-Semites, quote-unquote. And then so they look at what the content is, right? It's a buzzword program. It finds a buzzword, and then they look at it. So they finally caught on to all our alternative terminology. Although
Brother A. Bear has swedge.
Right?
You can use scralings.
Swedge or wedge, yeah. Yeah, W E J is Jew backwards, right? A lot of people here in Harrison, Arkansas use that term. So,
that's the old Norse term, the scaling. Right.
Okay, all right, yeah. So, we have all these, Jew savvy people in this area, the Ozarks, and so this is the place to be. However, I know from Doc Waterman and his research that ex-military and ex-police are also swarming to this area because it's the geologically most stable territory in the entire country, if not the world. This is very, very old geology that has had no earthquakes, no tectonic plate movement within memory, So that's why everybody's moving here, because even the cops and the ex-military people are expecting worldwide cataclysms. And so so it's an interesting mix of people that's moving down to this territory. Christian identity people, preppers, and these people who are, they're also Jew savvy. The cops
and
the military, they're Jew savvy.
My counselor here at the apartment complex listens to our shows.
All right, very good.
He's a white guy, and he's CI.
Yeah.
My medical lady that came that takes care of me, she's a physician's assistant, not a full MD.
Right.
She's into the holistic health. She understands exactly what I'm doing.
Right.
With the longevity products. Thank you, Patrick, by the way.
Yeah,
I got
a
beautiful package for my brother Patrick, and I've changed the ad, so it directs everybody toward Patrick, so he gets credit for it.
Yeah, and he's ideally located in Mississippi, about halfway between our Kentucky campground gathering.
Well, he's right across the river from Memphis.
Yeah.
But he's up on the high bluff, and he's right up there, and he's got his towing service, and,
and
everything's working good. By the way, my dear lady in North Carolina, Wanda, your Torah goes out on Monday. I have it in the envelope, but I couldn't mail it over the weekend. I've got it all in a bubble pack for protection, and your Torah goes out. I have been working very, very hard on the next book, The Prophets, okay? Because there's three sections to the Old Testament. The Torah, that's the five books of Moses, then the Prophets, that's the major and minor prophets, and the third book is the Writings, and that's Psalms and Proverbs.
Right.
And Chronicles.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So all of that,
I'm going to try to have the Prophets done. I've been working double overtime for those who are anxious. I'll have those probably by the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. I'll have everything ready. Yeah. I'll announce when I have them all printed out.
Yeah, right. I'm
being meticulous, as I have always been with all of my publications, making sure the spelling and the page numbers and everything lines up, all the references on my word-for-word shows. I am now into the New Testament, and I'm in the book of Matthew. I have one ready for tomorrow already, but later today I'm gonna do a bunch more into the book of Matthew, but when I get done with the New Testament this year, there will be no more new word-for-word shows.
Okay.
They will all be reruns in series each day.
Mm-hmm.
You can also download those off my website, pastor-steve.com. And if you type that in, the computer will automatically add all the other stuff.
Right, yeah. And I've been having really great difficulty even accessing my emails this past week. So when I get home, anybody who's book or anything like that, please be patient. I won't be able to catch up with all that until next Wednesday, right? But then I scan my computer emails to find out who's ordered anything, and then I'll fill those orders by the middle of the week. So please be patient. This is it's a four-man operation in terms of the logistics of Your Folk Radio. And by the way, I found a great product that I'm going to send info to Paul English in London, because his wife is very ill. And there's a particular product I just became aware of because we had a congregation yesterday. And anybody who's out there, and Swamp Fox was there, and his lady was there, and a lot of people, from the, put it this way, the Arkansas-Missouri border country, that's where we're located in the Ozarks. And these people know a lot about alternative health. And they know a lot about how to detox your body, okay? And that's what Paul's wife needed, is a detoxification program. And so both Doc and several other people had told me about this particular product that they say it really works. So I'll be sending him a brochure, and maybe he can get it locally. So we'll see. If not, he can order it from Doc Waterman, okay? So whatever it takes, so we want to get his wife healthy. Okay.
There
so anyway, yeah, and we had about a dozen people show up to the congregation yesterday, a tremendous fellowship. I mean, you get 12 people who are Jew savvy together. It is great, great
there
fun.
There you go.
Yeah. And Jim Barrier.
The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Unleavened Bread we have here in Kentucky.
Yeah.
The only thing that's keeping me from moving down there, when I get done with my supervised release, is a lack of internet. If they get the internet problem solved, I have so much to do for EFR, I have to stay where I'm at because of the killer internet.
Right.
I'm putting up all the shows and filling in holes where there's things missing.
Sure, missing, right.
Doing the best I can. But I'm one old man. Mm-hmm. So if anybody is really computer savvy and can show their bona fides, we could use another little hand.
Yeah, we could use a tech savvy, internet tech savvy, somebody, preferably a backup webmaster, right, who could keep the bring the server back up when it's down. You know, that's something that neither you or me or even David James knows how to do, but I think Paul English is going to train David along those lines, okay? So anyway, the people we called, I said, BYOB, bring your own bottle. BYOC, bring your own chair, right? And some snacks, some cold snacks. And so we got there, and Jim was cooking up some, not French fries, the sweet potato fries.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are delicious. And then Marie cooked up some barbecue chicken, right? So we had hot food as well as cold food. Of course, I made my famous guacamole. And so we were feasting, bro. I mean, you know, for a impromptu meeting, we feast. What I'm trying to tell people is these gatherings we have, these CI gatherings, we eat good. We eat good and healthy. So,
yeah, and it's not doom and gloom and all.
No, it's
seriousness.
Fun.
It's a joyous thing when you fellowship together in the name of Yahweh. He blesses that.
Mm-hmm.
When you assemble in His name, you have no idea. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. That's why I keep telling people, keep the feast. Go to
a feast near you. If you can't travel, do it locally. Get a few CI friends locally and do it yourself. Right?
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't need to follow somebody. Be a leader.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Be a leader.
Lead yourself. Right?
Yeah.
Get behind yourself and push, right? So we had great food, great fellowship, and the theme of our Bible study was the continuation of the Old Testament into the New Testament. And I saw that Paul English had put up a really interesting post about the word diateke in the Greek, which means contract. You know, it's not New Testament. It's the new contract.
Covenant.
Covenant. And a contract is exclusive to one, you know, party the first part, party the second part. Everybody else is excluded. Well, what more do you need to know?
In the Hebrew, it's called barit kadasha. Mm-hmm.
Right. Covenant.
Barit Kadasha, that's the covenant that is new.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're not stuck with animal sacrifice anymore, which was only putting things off for a year. Now the perfect sacrifice that Yeshua made for us covers all of that. And then He rose in 3 days, so He's the first fruits of the resurrection. And that shows you what's to come. If you're faithful and you're obedient and you try to serve Yahweh, He doesn't expect you to be perfect. Lord knows I've never met anybody perfect, especially the guy in the mirror. Okay? But you make effort and you put your heart in the right place. That's what the Father's looking for. That's what He's looking for.
That's right. Amen. Man. Yes. And so, so we're encouraging everybody to do, you know, if you can't travel far, you know, to keep a feast with other CI people, just host your own. You know, you must know a few people, you know, who are Jew savvy and Bible savvy. But that was a great Bible study we did, and David James did a prayer for white children around the world, because what's happening to our children is Jew rape and Jew murder.
It's just
So he led the congregation in prayer for our children, and I encourage everybody.
I've been getting some signals from Yahweh about what to do for this Thursday's wake up call. So this might be a blistering session this
Very good.
I don't know. I took a week off, and I'm gathering all my ammo, and I'm just going to launch a big salvo, I think.
All right. Okay. Very good. So enough about that. We just want to encourage people to fellowship. I get emails from people from all over America and even some from Europe. you know, where do I go to fellowship? I want to meet other CI people. Well, we're scattered all over the world, right? And you just, you know, you could take an ad out in the paper. And, of course, you have to be careful. I don't advise anybody to have a meeting in their home with someone they don't know, because there are trolls out there pretending to be CI people. And so what we do, even in the Chicago area, is we go to a restaurant, you know, and reserve a room. And so that's how you can do it. And, you know, if there's an infiltrator, if he talks about blowing buildings up, or if he knows absolutely nothing about the Bible, you know, chances are, but he pretends to, then you know he's probably not for real, okay? So there's various signals that infiltrators will give off, right? So you just have to be savvy. You just have to be savvy. And you can't do anything in this world without taking a risk, right? But you don't open up your home to complete strangers, right? You don't want to do that.
And what we have been doing, especially with Professor Truth on our videos, we're using mm-hmm. smart speech.
Right.
Because we have seen the attacks on the key words.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
The hot button words. So you can say the same thing, but phrase it differently, mm-hmm. and then they won't take your site down or
right.
pull your shows.
Right. Well,
we need to be a little bit smarter.
Right.
Than your average kikester.
Right, right. So they took our YouTube channel down because of two shows. It was the Parasites in Human Form, and maybe I should have spelled it Pharisites instead of Parasites, right? And then the other one was Edomites. They had started scanning our YouTube channel, because that show was in November of 2017. So they went back six, 8 months to look at our programs, and you know, they saw Edomites. Uh-oh. They did a show about Edomites. Okay. So they looked at that, and they gave us a second strike, and then they took us down. Because they knew we weren't speaking nicely about Jews. Right? So that's that. There's no free speech, you know, where the Jews control the internet. There simply isn't. Okay. But at least they can't lock us up like they did Alfred Schaefer's sister, Monica. You know, they just snatched her up.
Not yet.
They're working on it. Yes, they are. They're working hard on that, folks. But we ain't going to let that happen. Okay. So, enough said about that. Enough said about that. All right, let's take us back into Maccabees 1:9, verse 32.
No, verse 9.
Oh, verse, are you sure? No, chapter 9, verse 32.
Chapter.
Okay. Get us. Okay, where are we?
We're at verse 32.
Of chapter 9,
right? This concerns the campaigns of Jonathan.
Okay.
Okay. They were doing a lot of the battles. Yeah.
Okay, and let me just do a quick backup, because it's been a couple of weeks. All this time, the Israelites were led, Israelites of the house of Judah, with a smattering of other tribes living amongst them, okay? But they were referred to as Judah, and they never called themselves Jews. That's a modern term which is falsely applied to the house of Judah of the Old Testament and to the Judeans of the New Testament. And the Judeans in the New Testament are a motley crew of, you know, primarily Edomites and Judahites living in the same country. That's why it's called Judea and not Judah. The Judahites of the Old Testament simply refer to themselves as Yehuda.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they're a racially homogeneous group of Aryan Israelites, no Jews. And what we found from the book of Maccabees is they would not circumcise non-Israelite males. Okay? Mm-hmm. So they were very, very exclusive. So every Christian has to ask the question, especially of a Jew, where does the Bible allow the Israelites to include non-Israelites in their congregation? Where does it say that? And it doesn't say that anywhere. The prohibition still exists. But not among Jews, because the Jews aren't Israelites. It's just that
That's
simple.
Right.
Okay? So the exclusivity of the word of the people of Israel in these apocryphal books is maintained 100%. 100%.
Okay.
Okay.
And Let me explain who Jonathan is. Jonathan is Yehudas Maccabee's brother. Okay. And Yehuda died. And the people of the rebels chose Jonathan. Okay. Now, it has Jonathan in the Bible. Well, it's Yah, not Tan. Yahweh gives. That's his Hebrew name, Yonatan.
Nice.
They take the sacred name out all the time. His name means Yahweh gives. So when you hear me say Yonatan, that's who I'm talking about, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm trying very hard to replace the proper names, etc., in the scripture. So you read along with us and go ahead and look it up. I will give you all the notations that I can, but we cannot take the time to give you a complete concordance during the show.
Right.
We'll never get the show done. Now, we did a preface here with what went on down with the congregation and the fellowship. You need to hear that. It's
right.
A word of hope. Okay, the hope and joy that we get together.
Oh, we have fun. It's
and that's
good, clean
thing.
Family fun, if such a thing exists anymore.
We talk about serious stuff all the time, but you need a little light.
Yeah.
Lightening up, and you need to know that all is not doom and gloom among Israel.
Right. Yeah.
So, don't worry.
Yeah,
happy.
You have a great time. You'll never have more fun than at one of our feasts. By the way, Israelite One just posted his email address and inviting people to come to the Feast of Tabernacles in Kentucky.
Absolutely.
All right,
he's a coordinator here in Kentucky, and we have a ball. There's trout fishing and hiking and wildlife, and deer all over the place. A gorgeous surrounding, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Got hot showers.
Right, right.
Okay, hot showers and laundry, hot showers.
Right.
Okay. and there's towns all around. You can go antique stores and go look at stuff. And we have campfires at night and we sit around and just, it's wonderful.
Right,
and,
right.
It's a fabulous gathering, so.
Yes,
and
right.
I stay the whole time. I mean, I'm just there. It's just marvelous.
Yes.
So anyway, this
is
verse 32 of chapter 9 of 1 Maccabees. When Bacchides learned of this, he tried to kill him. This is when Jonathan
was preparing to fight against
the leadership.
Him. Right.
So he tried to kill Jonathan right off the bat. And Bacchides was the leader in that area, and he chose all the godless and sent them after these rebels. He was the enemy.
Okay. And one more comment about setting this up. What has happened in Israel is that renegade, traitor Israelites had sought to depose Judah and Jonathan and take their place, and they were making deals with the Greeks. Okay, so this is how our people, how our nation always falls. It's the traitors from within. Okay, and the Edomites may have had something to do with it, but it's basically the traitors of our race. They're the ones who always cause the downfall of our nations. Period.
The snitches, the betrayers, the people that plant microphones.
Exactly.
Make up things that you're supposed to have said to get you prosecuted for something wrongly.
Right, and make your friends angry with you, right?
Yeah. Spread rumors.
Exactly. Eli's a Jew, right?
Yeah.
How many times have I heard that before? So,
that's back on.
It's back up again.
The same troll. They got a picture of a Jew that ostensibly looks a little bit
Like Eli.
With black hair and this big beard, but he's got a schnoz on him you can't miss. And if you ever meet Eli, he's shorter than I am. Of course, most people are shorter than I am. But he's ruddy-faced German.
Right, right.
You know.
I'm blushing all the time.
Just, there's no Jew in Eli at all.
So, right, and that's a rabbi.
That garbage.
Yeah, and that rabbi that he claims, Skip Baker claims that rabbi is me. I have two very pronounced canine teeth, right? That's so I can tear at that chicken leg with relish, right? And that rabbi doesn't. He's had his teeth worked on, and he's got extra straight teeth. So it's very easy, you know, but Skip Baker still claims that he and I are the same person. So anyway, there's absolute proof, you know. If you meet me in person, I have canines, pronounced canines.
I don't even know who the hell Skip Baker is. Who is he?
He's an associate of William Fink. So, you know, they both put these rumors out about me. So, and then I have a photograph of Skip Baker wearing his FBI Special Ops t-shirt. Okay. So I confronted him about this, and he said, "Oh, no, no, I was wearing my son-in-law's T-shirt when that photograph." Yeah, right, Skip. Yeah, yeah, you got me convinced. Okay, back to this.
Okay, when Bacchides learned of this, he tried to kill him. Verse 33. But Jonathan and his brother Shimon, at Simon,
right,
okay, and all who were with him heard of it. And they fled into the wilderness of Tekoa and camped by the water of the pool of Asphar.
There's a town in Georgia named Tekoa. It has to be a biblical name. Yeah.
Well, yeah. There's lots of biblical.
There's Israelites.
A biblical country at one time.
That's right. It was, yes.
You know, but not anymore. They've sort of gutted it.
Right.
Bacchides found this out on the Shabbat day, Sabbath day, and he, with all his army, crossed the Jordan. Of course, they're not going to keep the Shabbat. They're going to attack on the Shabbat.
Right.
That's the plan. Okay. You know, they want to violate the Shabbat, so they're doubly cursed. Okay. Verse 35. So Jonathan sent his brother as leader of the multitude and begged the Nabateans, who were his friends, for permission to store with them the great amount of baggage that they had. They were carrying everything, you know, but the kitchen sink. They were an army on the move.
All right, who are the Nabateans? People, you know, need to know who they are. I don't think they're Israelites. But they were not an unfriendly nation, okay? So, because Yahweh only told the Israelites to exterminate the Canaanites and all the tribes of the Canaanites. And Jonathan...
Well, they were friends with Jonathan.
Yes, yes. Okay. So, but what happened now? So, they're not Israelites, but they're not enemies either, okay? But they lived separately.
Well,
let's find out.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. So Jonathan sent his brother as leader of the multitude and begged the Nabateans, who were his friends, for permission to store with them the great amount of baggage that they had. Verse 36. But the family of Jambri from Medeba came out and seized John and all that he had and left with it.
Highway robbers. Highwaymen.
Verse 37. After these things, it was reported to Jonathan and his brother Shimon, the family of Jambri are celebrating a great wedding and conducting the bride, a daughter of one of the great nobles of Canaan. From Nadaboth with a large escort.
Yeah, and look at all these goodies we brought with us.
All right.
Okay.
Now listen to this. Verse 38. This is payback time.
Right.
Remembering how their brother John had been killed, they went up and hid under the cover of the mountain. They looked out and saw a tumultuous procession with a great amount of baggage.
Right.
And the bridegroom came out with his friends and his brothers to meet them with tambourines and musicians and many weapons.
I wonder if they had name tags for their luggage in those days.
I don't know. Verse 40. Then they rushed on them from the ambush and began killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Many were wounded and fell, and the rest fled to the mountains, and the Judeans took all their goods. They had Jews in this text.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
There is no word Jew in the scripture.
That's right.
Okay. Even in the New Testament, it's right. Inserted in the 1800s. Okay. And the original text, Old and New Testament, the word's not in there.
That's right. It's either Judean
or Judah. They took all their stuff again.
They got it back and then some.
Verse 41. Okay. This is what happens to these Canaanites. So the wedding was turned into mourning, and the voice of their musicians into a funeral dirge. Verse 42. After they had fully avenged the blood of their brother, they returned to the marshes of the Jordan. That's the Jordan River. There's marshes on either side of it. Well, they're hiding out in the swamp, just like they were during the Civil War and the Revolutionary War, and the swamp people.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a bunch of them down there today.
Swamp thing.
Yeah, well, right? That's a good place to hide.
Right?
It can't bring armor into a swamp.
Yeah. Right.
Tanks don't go well.
No, not too well.
No. Verse 43, here's old Bacchides again. When Bacchides heard of this, he came with a large force on the Sabbath day to the banks of the Yard. And Jonathan said to those with him, let us get up now and fight for our lives, for today things are not as they were before.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 45, for look, the battle is in front of us and behind us. The water of the Jordan is on this side and on that, with marsh and thicket.
Mm-hmm.
There is no place to turn.
We're surrounded.
Verse 46, listen to this. Cry out now to heaven that you may be delivered from the hands of our enemies.
Amen.
In other words, pray to Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 47. So the battle began, and Jonathan stretched out his hand to strike Bacchides, but he eluded him and went to the rear. In the rear with the gear. Okay.
Okay.
Then Jonathan, this is verse 48. Then Jonathan and the men with him leaped into the Jordan and swam across to the other side, and the enemy did not cross the Jordan to attack them. And about 1,000 of Bacchides' men fell on that day.
Right. So the Israelites were kicking butt even in those days, as their numbers were declining probably virtually daily. But Yahweh was still with them as long as they invoked his name in the battle.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy brought the battle on them on the Shabbat day. They were not willingly violating the Shabbat.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the enemy got the snot knocked out of
him. Right? Yeah, right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Let's just get down with
it. Did a little bleeding, too. Yeah.
Oh, well. Verse 50. Here's Bacchides is building fortifications. Then Bacchides returned to Jerusalem and built strong cities in Judea.
All right.
The fortress in Jericho and Emmaus and Beth Horon and Beth El and Timnath and Pharathon. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Tifon.
And Tifon.
Mm-hmm.
With high walls and gates and bars. Verse 51. And he placed garrison in them to harass Israel.
Right. Now, wasn't this Emmaus? Wasn't this the place where Yeshua had appeared to the brethren after the resurrection?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that town still existed. for all that time. Did. Okay, so the Israelites were doing their best to maintain their separate culture. Now, you have to understand, folks, that the Israelites, even those of the house of Judah, were primarily farmers. You know, some of them had huge estates, but they were not like your city Jews. You know, you could say even in those days, the Edomites lived in the cities and did not farm because their bloodline is cursed from farming. And so if somebody's a farmer, he's not a Jew. The Jews do not farm, period. Okay?
No, they hire it.
Yeah. So these little towns out in the sticks, out in the boonies, maintained their exclusive Judahite culture. You may have an occasional Pharisee come to town and tell the Israelites what to do, but they wouldn't stick around. They would move on from town to town, you know, pretending to be big shots. You know, and then they wind up back in Jerusalem. Okay? So the Jews are city folk, and they would go back to Jerusalem. All right, back to you.
All right, verse 52 of chapter 9. He also fortified the town of Beth Zur, that's the city of the stranger, and Gazara, and the citadel, and in them he put troops and stores of food. He was occupying everything with these UN troops.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Notice the analogy. Right? I'm sorry. I had to throw that in.
No, nobody understood what you were talking about, Steve.
Right. And he took the sons of the leading men of the land as hostages and put them under the guard in the citadel of Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem. Now, verse 54, this occurs in 159 B.C., this verse, okay?
Right.
The notes are telling me. In the 153rd year, in the second month, Alcimus gave orders to tear down the wall of the inner court of the sanctuary. He tore down the work of the prophets. Verse 55. But he only began to tear it down, for at that time Alcimus was stricken, and his work was hindered, and his mouth was stopped, and he was paralyzed. Talk about payback. Right. So that he could no longer say a word or give commands concerning his house. Verse 56. And Alcimus died at that time in great agony. Yahweh struck him down, folks.
Right. And now, Alcimus was
then,
a rebel priest, right?
Do it again. Don't try to downsize Yahweh.
Amen. Amen. Alcimus was an Israelite rebel, right? He a traitor.
Yeah.
Okay.
When Bakides saw that Alcimus was dead, he returned to the king, and the land of Yehuda had rest for 2 years.
Right.
So his commander died horribly.
Yeah, he couldn't talk.
And they scooted on out of there. He says, uh-oh.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Here is the subsection of the end of the war.
Yeah.
So, verse 58 of chapter 9. Then all the lawless plotted and said, see, Jonathan and his men are living in quiet and confidence. So now let us bring Bakides back, and he will capture them all in one night. These are traitors.
Yes.
Okay. Just like we've got in CI, we got guys that present themselves as CI and they talk a good game for a while.
Yeah.
And then.
And then their plots are discovered.
You know. Well, I'm not white, I'm a Cherokee.
Yeah. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
We find that out from the court records.
Verse 59. And they went and consulted with him. verse 60. He started to come with a large force and secretly sent letters to all his allies in Judea, telling them to seize Jonathan and his men, but they were unable to do it because their plan became known.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 61. And Jonathan's men seized about 50 of the men of the country who were leaders in this treachery and killed them.
Wow. Wow. Yep.
Killed them. And people wonder why I have swords. They still work, folks.
Yeah, right? They the swords still work. So do the traitors.
They're very fearsome. When somebody sees you whip out a sword and start walking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, buddy. Better than, scarier than a gun.
Right.
Scarier than a gun.
Well, look what's happening in Britain and on the continent. These Muslims are taking knives to our women. And none of these governments are prosecuting these Muslims who are just openly killing white women.
Well.
Okay. So if you want to put a stop to this.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah. But none of these nations serve Yahweh anymore, so they don't pray for protection. And so, you know, they've become a heathen. The vast majority of white people around the world have become total heathen. And so, you know, if they abandon Yahweh, what did he say? If you abandon me, I abandon you.
Yeah. He withdraws his protection.
Amen.
And you try to tell these people that, you know, oh, we're haters.
Oh, you're a cult.
Yeah. All these names that they like to call us, when we tell them the truth and we try to warn them out of love, look, brother.
Yeah.
You're sinning. You need to repent. You need to come back to Yahweh. Oh, you're a Nazi.
Yeah, right. You're a hater. Well, you're anti-Semite.
That same old, tired name caller. You're a Nazi.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So where's your love everybody philosophy going? Where's what's it leading to? It's leading to white genocide. Any heathen whites out there who are listening, it's self-evident at this point. That what we've been saying in identity for 50, 60 years is true.
Your family's not going to be genocide. You can get your daughter to marry a Kachahunda.
You're still going to need to put gates around your house and iron fences to be safe. That's what they have to do in South Africa.
Yep.
You're not safe unless you put a brick wall with razor wire on top. Is that how you want to live? You better start listening to our message.
Verse 62, then Jonathan and his men and Shimon withdrew to Bethbasi in the wilderness. He rebuilt the parts of it that had been demolished, and they fortified it. Verse 63, when Bacchides learned of this, he assembled all his forces and sent orders to the men of Judea. Verse 64, then he came in and camped against Bethbasi and fought against it for many days and made machines of war. That's stuff that would cast stones and burning pitch balls and stuff. You've seen them. The trebuchet that throws stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They crank it down and then it launches projectiles. Verse 65, but Jonathan left his brother Shimon in the town while he went out into the country, and he went with only a few men. Verse 66, he struck down Odomerah and his kindred and the people of Phaseron in their tents. These are traitors. Verse 67, then he began to attack and went into battle with his forces, and Shimon and his men sallied out from the town. So they were coming around behind him and in front of him, set fire to the machines of war. Verse 68, they fought with Bacchides, and he was crushed by them.
Mm.
They pressed him very hard. For his plan and his expedition had been in vain.
Nice.
verse 69. So he was very angry at
yes.
renegades who had counseled him to come into the country.
Yeah, that's what happens to traitors.
And he killed many of them.
There you go.
Then he decided to go back to his own land. So all you traitors out there that want to betray us, get us locked up, because we go against your Judeo-Christian philosophy, and you try to get us set up to go down, they're going to turn on you too. So you look to them for support, and they're going to wind up killing you and your family. They don't love you. They're using you.
That's right.
You are a tool for their machine. Okay? Verse 70. When Jonathan learned of this, he sent ambassadors to him to make peace with him and obtain release of the captives. Verse 71. He agreed and did as he said, and he swore to Jonathan that he would not try to harm him as long as he lived.
Okay.
Verse 72, in other words, he had the crap beat out of him.
Yeah, right.
And he says, oh, okay, so, I won't bother you anymore.
Yeah, so Yahweh was still with the house of Yehuda,
right,
even at this
right.
point in time, despite all the traitors.
Well, the traitors got whacked.
That's right.
By the people that they had betrayed real Israel to.
That's right.
They turned and whacked them.
Yeah, all you traitors out there, what's your fate?
You want to go along with the Talmudists and their minions. They're going to use you and consider you a sucker, and then they're going to whack you. And they're going to whack your wives, and they're going to whack your little kids. And they're going to give your house to a Katsa Honda.
Right.
That's what they're going to do to you. So you want to betray us? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Go for it. Go for it. What goes around comes around. Yahweh shows that here. Verse 72. He restored to him the captives whom he had taken previously from the land of Yehuda. Then he turned and went back to his own land and did not come again into their territory. Verse 73, thus the sword ceased from Israel. Jonathan settled in Michmash and began to judge the people, and he destroyed the godless out of Israel. And that ends chapter 9.
Okay.
In other words, he went, and all these people that were traitors, because if they betrayed their own kinsmen, they were a traitor to Yahweh. Because Yahweh was blessing Israel at that point, made them victorious. So if you oppose Yahweh, he's going to zap you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all these guys, he's an old god. He's really Molech, and he's a hater god, and all that. Run that mouth. Go ahead and run
yeah.
that mouth.
Right.
Run your mouth. But don't come crying to me when Yahweh puts the hammer on you. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear you whine and cry. No, but aren't we all brothers?
No,
you made your we were.
And even the feminists are our brothers, right?
You made your choice. You chose to deal
right.
with the enemy. You chose to betray your brothers. You know, if you turn your other cheek, we've forgiven you time and time and time again.
Right.
But there comes a time. There's a time for war and a time for peace. And a time to kill and a time to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And that killing time.
And a time to hide yourself.
We've the thing is, all you traitors out there, you're walking down the street, you don't know who's walking right next to you or behind you.
Yeah.
And when it comes time for us to go hunting, your life's going to be pretty much miserable. You're going to stay in your house barricaded all the time. And even then, it's not going to do you. You poke your head off out, we're going to take it off. A lot of these people don't know what war is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what fighting is. Oh, they'll see a fight on TV and all these movie fights. They've never been under fire. They just don't know how ugly, how incredibly ugly it can get.
Yeah, all these warmongers, all, you know, and I don't know what happened to
them. Yeah, they're in the rear with the gear. They send others out to fight.
They have no idea what war is. And they're constantly asking for war with Iran and with Russia and with North Korea. These people are total fools.
They want to make war on us. We have been peaceable. We have tried and tried and tried to get along. But there's going to come a point when they attack us. We're not going to initiate
anything. We believe in self-defense.
It goes back to the old adage of, well, he started it, but I finished it. And I've been in many of those situations where somebody's just pushing and pushing and pushing, and they throw the first punch, and then that's it.
Right.
Then all bets are off, and you wanted to bring what you brought. Now you're going to find out what I got.
Right. And you found out personally.
I got scars all over me.
Right.
Although get their licks in, I'm not saying I don't get hit.
Right.
It's just that I do mo better hitting when I return.
Mo better, right.
Mo better.
Yeah, right. Hey, Doc Waterman. Okay. Because not that they were infiltrators, but when they saw there's a real war getting ready to happen and the feds are coming after us, what did they do? They scurried for cover.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the militia here disappeared, went underground.
Yeah. Right.
When they knew I was only defending myself, I didn't initiate a criminal before. I wasn't a criminal while I was in prison, and I'm not a criminal now that I'm out.
Yeah, and
I was on the straight up and up, straight and narrow, and they had to keep moving me, and they transferred a bunch of their guards because I'm CI.
Right.
And they'd see them shaking my hand and stuff like that. They'd ship them out.
Right.
Even the chaplain at Forest City.
Right. Right.
Who copied all of my work, and I sent all that stuff to Eli.
Right. For safekeeping, yeah, and it was kept safe.
When they were destroying all my documents, he used my translations in his sermons, and they reactivated him and sent him off to Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he knew too much.
And he was out of the service at that time.
Right.
And they reactivated him. They gave him a recall and shipped him to Iraq.
Yeah.
As punishment.
Because he was seen shaking your hand. Right?
Because he had converted to Christian identity.
You were persona non grata, Steve, even in prison.
I spent more time in the hole. They threw me in the hole. And the most trouble I had out of anybody was the white supremacist gangs.
Right.
The Aryan Brotherhood and the Dirty White Boys. Who were dumber than a box of rocks, and the only thing they knew was how to victimize other white people. They didn't victimize the blacks, because the blacks so outnumbered us that they would have kicked their butt.
Right.
So they picked on the white boys.
Spoiler.
Weak.
Right. Spoiler alert says Trump just tweeted that Washington.
I called them out right in the lunchroom when the lunchroom was filled with the whole prison population.
Right. Yeah. Blacks, Muslims, and what have you.
Of cowards.
Right.
I say, you threatened and you're going to do this to me and you're going to do that. I said, well, they're all of you sitting at the table right here.
Mm-hmm. Bring it on.
Let's do it.
Right. I can just see the riot. I can see the riot happening.
General population. I said, I'm challenging you right here. You want me? Bring it on.
Right.
Right here, right now, or shut your mouth.
That's right. Right.
And they did nothing. Because back when I was in, I was in shape. I mean, mm-hmm. I'd go out and work out.
Right.
And get all the things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They did not mess with me. Now I am so old. Now I've been down so long. Well, then I'm out. I've been out just about, I guess,
getting back in shape. Getting back in shape. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I had this heart attack due to the crap food and everything else that I had in prison.
Prison food is worse than hospital food.
And Yahweh has healed me.
Amen. Amen.
I'm taking this stuff from DIY Health through Patrick.
By the way, I have to make an announcement real quick before I forget. There will be no live Avochi today, no Voice of Christian Israel, because I have to go back on the road. And we're having another congregation upstate. So I'm looking forward to meeting an old CI pastor who's 79 years old and still going strong. I won't mention his name. So anyway, I want to reacquaint myself with him. And also, I just want to announce, spoiler alert, Trump just tweeted that Washington Post employees should go on strike. Well, yeah, let all those liberal reporters go on strike. We'll get better news, right? So, there's big changes coming ahead, folks. But Doc Waterman, when he was head of the Michigan militia, Leslie Stahl came down to Michigan to have a meeting with him, and they were trying to pick a date. And wouldn't you know, they picked this exact date of the attack on, Oklahoma City. It was either Oklahoma City or Waco, but probably Oklahoma City. And he was being set up. Leslie Stahl obviously knew that Oklahoma City was going to be attacked. All right? And so he was being set up to have the finger pointed at him as the face of the white militia. Right? And so, but fortunately, he had a friend of his video the entire meeting. So they had two video records. And what he saw, they were trying to lie about, you know, what they did was they had him answering the questions, right? But the questions that were posed by Leslie Stahl were changed. So that it looked like he was answering the new question instead of the original question. And that infuriated Doc Waterman, and he let Leslie Stahl have it, right? So they didn't air that episode because it was all contrived.
Oh,
totally
no.
Contrived, okay? So I just want to let people know that's how they treat us. Back to you.
Well, Doc might remember me when I came up with Charlie Puckett.
Okay.
Charlie Puckett was the head of the Kentucky militia.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie and I went to Michigan to meet with the Michigan militia. I'm an honorary Wolverine.
Okay.
We got back, you know, and then later on, all this stuff happened with me. They came at Charlie. They found one little bitty tiny part.
Of a gun?
That could convert something.
Okay.
And they hammered Charlie. They threatened him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Charlie gave me up.
Hmm.
And gave him the letters that I had sent to him under another name in secret from, I would go by a post office box.
Sure.
When they had them on the street, and I'd drop a letter in.
Yeah.
And it was just with a bogus name and address.
Right.
He turned all that stuff over, and they still busted him.
Hmm.
They betrayed him and set him up and gave him 3 years. Well, they sent Charlie to Manchester, which is a prison, and he was in the prison there in Manchester. And lo and behold, he's sitting in the TV room with all the other inmates. And the show comes on, and whose smiling face is on TV?
Oh, yours.
Why, Charlie? No.
No?
No. Charlie Puckett.
Oh!
Had Charlie Puckett's face on TV.
Ooh.
And,
ooh.
And it was in a story about me, and they said, well, this is Charles Puckett. And he is a cooperating witness with the FBI.
Mm. So did all the prisoners rise up and beat the hell out of him?
Now, I got this from one of the guys who was in the joint that I was friends with.
Right.
Another patriot, and everybody turned and looked at Charlie, and he
I can imagine.
He went running to the guard station.
Right.
And he checked in, and he spent his whole 3 years in solitary confinement.
Voluntarily.
And protective custody.
Right.
So they couldn't get to him.
Right.
So, and this was a stalwart militia commander.
Yes.
This is what happens, folks. This is what happens. If a little pressure is put on somebody, they'll give you up.
It's the Book of Maccabees all over again.
Well, they took me out of the jail and made me an offer. Now, I did 13 years and 1 month out of 15 years.
Okay.
I'm still on supervised release. I'm not breaking a law by doing what I'm doing right here.
That's right. Freedom of speech.
But they offered me an offer. I would have gotten out in 7 years.
Mm-hmm. If you were a snitch.
If I would give people up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did 13 years in 1 month. What's that tell you?
Yeah.
I told them to take their chicken dinner. I didn't want to eat their chicken dinner.
Right.
Said, I don't want your food. I'll eat the garbage.
Or your pork.
In that jail. I'm not giving anybody up. I said, I still have my honor. You people have no honor, and you're used to dealing with whining, crying little snitches that will sell their mother down the tubes for a pack of crackers. I said, that's not me.
Or a hit of crack. Right?
That's not me.
Yeah, well, we have another brother in Pennsylvania, Robert. I won't mention his last name. But he did 8 years, and he said the very first thing that happened to him was the FBI sat him down in a room, and they gave him a list of names, and we want you to snitch on these people. Yeah, no, I'm not snitching. I'm going to do the full 8 years. I'm not snitching on anybody. So he did 8 years.
Yeah. I did my whole time, and I had no incidents while I was in prison. They could never prove anything on. They threw me in a hole for investigation.
Right.
They destroyed all my Bibles. I had to just order Bibles over and over and over. They blackballed me. I couldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
They were going in my locker, destroying all my stuff all the time. Taking if I would get something. Like a bowl and a cup and a set of plastic silverware to eat with, they take it.
Yeah, and a couple of years before you got out, I tried to visit you when you were in Arkansas. And the chaplain was trying to be cooperative, but it just couldn't work out, you know. So, but I was able to pick you up when you did get out, right?
No. They looked you up and saw who you were.
Right.
They're not going to let you visit with me.
You're right. That's right. Right. But your chaplain, he was a good guy. He was trying, but you know, the prison management wouldn't allow it.
He was trying, and I guess he's trying over in the Rock.
And that's probably there you go.
That's the guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy that was CI. He
right.
converted.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He converted to Christian identity and was using my Bible translations in his sermons, ones that I'm putting out now.
Yeah, I had his phone number, and he was trying like crazy to get me a visitation. One visit, that's all I was asking for, one visit. And he was trying really hard, but he just couldn't pull it off. You know, he had too much opposition from the prison management.
Well, he not only got opposed, he got reactivated and sent to Iraq.
Right.
He got back on active duty.
He got deposed. Yeah, right.
You think you're going to get mercy from these people?
No.
Oh,
no.
Please.
Oh, and another thing I found out for all you folks, if you, you know, you're better off, don't break any laws, don't go to prison, because even if it's a minor offense, you're going to get hell in prison, okay?
So if you think... they'll put you in a cell with seven blacks and let them just beat you down,
That's right, and they won't do anything to help you. No.
Help you.
You do not want to go to prison. You know, don't violate any laws, you know.
Don't spit on the sidewalk.
Yeah, right.
It's a federal sidewalk.
Yeah.
Don't spit on the sidewalk in front of a federal building.
Yeah.
Don't break a traffic law on a federal highway.
Yeah. And, you know, but even the prisoners that we have in the prison system now that are CI, they are persona non grata. You know, they allow the black Muslims.
They even allow
the white pagans to have meetings in prisons, but they will not permit Christian identity to have meetings.
They allow Satanists to have.
That's right. But not CI, because we're the ones they're afraid of, right? So if be really careful. Don't take on the establishment of. Choose your fights carefully is what I'm trying to say. Yes. Choose your fights very carefully.
A
you do not.
Man alone is easy prey.
That's right. And you're no good to us behind bars unless you want to study Hebrew. So stay in the free world and you do what you can in the free world. Don't tempt fate. Okay? Yeah. So who can make war against the beast?
With Eli's help. Eli saved all my stuff, which is the reason... that I can, I'm computerizing it now because I had a primitive little cheap
typewriter,
$29 typewriter.
Yeah, basically a toy typewriter for kids, but it still worked.
Yeah,
it was a real typewriter.
That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'm fixing everything now that I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But
and now you got your own website. Translating it for our folk. Yeah. So, and so that's why they hate Eurofolk Radio, and any bona fide Christian identity group is hated by the Jews, okay? But fortunately in America, we have a First and Second Amendment, and they're taking their chances trying to prosecute a free identity person. Okay, they do it indirectly. They can't attack us directly because the law's on our side.
I got something to tell everybody out there, and I was in five different prisons.
Mm-hmm.
They moved me all the time, so I wouldn't establish any kind of
identity presence. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I never, under any circumstances, saw a white warden.
Hmm.
Never.
Oh yeah.
At any of them.
Right.
And they had to retire a lot of them early because they cooked the books so badly and were stealing. The guards and the theft in the federal prison system is unbelievable, and it's all done by staff.
Right, white and black. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely, a lot of the white people that work in these prisons are the worst.
Yeah, they're
scum.
Yeah.
Mark Twain, like Al Simas. If you want to see the scum of the earth, this is Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a prison at shift change. If you want to see the scum of the earth.
I love it.
Because that's all that gravitates pretty
much. Yeah, right? Oh, yeah, the prisoners and, well, that too, but the prisoners and the family. Because I've been in many prisons. And typically, it's the men that go to prison, and then their girlfriends and their wives come to visit them.
and we're mamas.
Maybe mamas, right? Yeah. And you're talking about low life there too, right? Because that's that drug culture. It's the white people who get into drugs, they go to prison, and their mamas and girlfriends visit them every weekend, right? And they're not a class act either. I know. I've met these people.
Oh, no, man. Right. You wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe.
Yeah. So it's not just blacks, folks.
When I was at Atlanta, the USP Atlanta at that time, it was not converted to a medium yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the United States Penitentiary. I was in Atlanta. The DEA had set up a sting operation. They arrested 12 guards out in the parking lot for drug dealing in the
prison.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, they would bring in one of those big metal lunch boxes.
Right.
They didn't check that. They brought their lunch box in, and they were full of pre-rolled joints.
And that, right? And that metal lunch box had a lead shield around it.
Listen, let me finish. A pre-rolled joint was $25.
Mm. Wow.
Deposited in a private account by the families, and these guys would be getting...
Yeah.
Eight and ten, 20 joints off these guards.
Oh,
and they
man.
Were $25 a piece. They'd keep a running account and they'd send the bill to the family and they'd pay these guys. These guys.
Yeah.
They were making big money.
Your
off
trustworthy
their
government.
Salary. Mm-hmm. They were making big money as a federal prison guard.
That's
with
right.
All the benefits.
That's right.
And they were making five times that off a drug sale.
Yeah. So that's how they do it. Remember that movie Dillinger?
System.
Remember that movie Dillinger where he had his family send a knife inside of a cake? Right?
Well,
that's primitive.
That's the movie.
Sure.
That's nice.
Yeah.
But I'm talking reality and rats and roaches.
Yeah.
Atlanta was the most filthy. It was built during the Civil War to house Civil War prisoners after
wow.
the war.
Wow.
And they're still using it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say about the staff is when I visited a friend, a prisoner in a Louisiana prison. It's a federal penitentiary in Louisiana. Yeah. Oh, wow.
They're horrible.
Yeah, so I drove 13 hours to get to the place. And I was tired, and I was hot. You get out of your air-conditioned car into the heat of Louisiana, the heat and humidity. You know, I was wearing a T-shirt. So I go into the prison, and I check in. You know, you have to dispense with all of your personals and to put them in a locker. And I can't remember if they allowed me to keep my wallet. I think they allowed me to keep my wallet. But you can't go in there with anything but your wallet. And so I go through all the checkpoints. Several doors had to be unlocked, gates, right, that I could get through. And I finally get to the interview room where you come in one door and the prisoner comes out the other door. And there was this kikus, a butch dyke in the last area, to the last checkpoint they had to go through. And I just offhandedly, she said, "You can't go in there." I said, "Why not? You're improperly dressed. What's wrong with my dress? You're wearing a T-shirt. You're supposed to have a street shirt on." Oh, okay. I wish somebody would have told me that four or five gates ago. So I had to go all the way out to the parking lot. And fortunately, I had a brand new shirt, short sleeve shirt. I put that on, walked back in, and it went through all the gates again. And so, in the meantime, my interview guy, he's waiting. He's wondering, did Eli show up? Right? Is Eli here? Because it had to be there at a specific time, right? So, I finally get to the butch dyke, and I said, "Okay, T-shirt inspector." It was a stupid thing to say, but I was very tired, exhausted from a 13-hour drive. And she said, "Uh-oh, you insulted me." Okay, this is what you have to go through to visit a prisoner in the prison. I said, you have to apologize. Okay, so I apologize to her. I told her I'm really tired. Sorry I made that joke. No insult intended. And so it was up to her. Everybody's standing around. All these guards are standing around while I'm apologizing to her. And you know, I wasn't going to grovel, right? So I looked her in the eye and just told her, it was an honest mistake. I'm very tired. I apologize for calling you the T-shirt inspector. And so she gave the guard who escorted me into the room a nod, and we finally had the interview. So this is what it's like dealing with these federal prisons, folks. You do not want to go there.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what they hire.
They
hire queers.
Queers
hire
and dykes.
Lesbos.
That's right.
They
blacks,
hire
queers, and lesbians.
That will beat you. They will take you in a private room in the hole and beat you with rubber hoses and phone books.
Mm.
They won't bruise you up, but you will feel all these. They will just beat you down.
That's right.
Just because they're in the mood. They're bored that day.
They're right.
Well, you looked at me wrong.
Yeah.
And you're handcuffed behind your back, and these guys are beating you.
Yeah. So do not take
on
the federal government unnecessarily.
One guy so bad in Atlanta that it killed him.
Mm-hmm.
They beat him to death in the elevator.
Wow.
And the one patriot that was there, I can't remember, his big famous guy, they beat him to death.
Mm-hmm.
One of the CI patriots,
leaders.
They beat him
right.
to death.
Yeah. 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 So I'm going
to
visit an old timer today.
Bill Fink killed a guy. He
yeah.
was a prison guard.
Well, he was a sergeant at a prison. Yeah.
And he was in on that death
right.
of a Mexican.
Right.
I don't care about the Mexican, but guy yeah. didn't do anything. You don't beat somebody to death just because.
Yeah, just because. Yeah, you're in the mood to. Right? So, yeah. So this is, do your best to stay out of prison, folks. You're much better out here where you can do some good than in prison. You know, if you have the wherewithal to learn Hebrew while you're in prison, you can make some useful time of it. But it's not a place you want to go.
I studied for 13 years
mm-hmm.
to get where I'm at. I did nothing. I didn't watch TV. Hated television. Hated it. And everybody thought I was weird because I wouldn't watch television.
Right. You're the only one who was sane. Right?
Well.
Right. Who was that?
I learned all this stuff.
Yeah. St. Andrew.
The chaplain would call me over and we'd sit and talk for 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah. Because he knew you were sane.
To explain stuff. To the prison chaplain,
right.
who was going to do a sermon.
Right. Very good.
And then he'd take what I said and do his sermon on it, and boy, was he punished for it.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Active CI prisoners around from prison to prison to prison.
Constantly.
Yeah. Because
I was in Forest City, Arkansas longer than I was
in Atlanta.
Any place else.
Right. Okay.
Now, we're talking about, Swamp Fox has got a question. This was not privatized prison yet. It was a federal, they were uh-huh. federal guards.
Yes.
And all of, they hadn't started that yet while I was in.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have privatized a lot of stuff, and you get,
right.
and when you get sent to a privatized prison,
it's even worse.
It's worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they're company employees; they have no loyalty to the Constitution, even though they swear it.
You have no rights.
Yes.
They put you in a cell, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's getting worse all the time.
You get to go out and walk up and back about a 20-foot thing that's, and you get to walk and you're alone. There's no, you're solitary. All the whole, if you got a 10-year sentence, you're going to spend 10 years alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't talk to you. They put your clothes through the door.
Yeah, your food through the door.
They will take you out. They will take you out in the common, right, in the hallway once a week, handcuffed, yeah, and they will clean. You have a, yeah, shower in the cell. You have a toilet in the cell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With no toilet seat.
Right.
Stainless steel, and you sit on that, and that's it.
Ooh, that's gold.
Yeah, but yeah, well, you have a tiny little sink, and you'll get one roll of toilet paper. Yeah. And if you use it up, that's just too bad.
Yeah, it's just too bad. Right, you have to go Muslim, right? So, folks, especially ladies, you do not, you have no privacy in these prisons.
Oh,
none whatsoever.
You will get bulldiked, ladies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah.
Or raped by the men guards.
Mm, yeah, right. So, you do not want, choose your arguments with the feds, with the government, carefully. You do not want to go to prison. You're much more useful to us out here.
Don't want to incite to violence, because they will come and get you. That's what they did with me.
That's right.
And these guys in CI today that are talking about violent acts?
Oh, no. No. That's the ticket to prison. That is a ticket to prison.
That's a ticket to prison. If you get on the air and you talk that, they're going to come get you.
That's right. So, Commander, you better watch what you say.
Pick your battles and be smart, people.
That's
Yahweh
right.
gave us a brain for a reason. Yeah. Doesn't mean you're cowardly because you don't run off at the mouth and get yourself locked up.
Right.
That's stupidity.
Yeah, you got to be smart.
Somebody like me, I didn't do this on the internet. I had a broadcast station, 50,000 watts, and was on shortwave worldwide. Way before EFR was even conceived.
Sure.
I've been at this for years. I had Willie Martin on.
Really? Wow.
Willie Martin had a show on my radio station. I had Wickstrom back when he was actually doing CI.
Right.
Before he went wicky-wacky.
Right.
I had Buddy Johnson, who turned crazy on me. I had a whole bunch of them. I had Comperé. I had Bertrand Comperé on. I had Wesley Swift.
Wow.
I was playing all of
You never
our
told own. Me this stuff.
I was, well, I go way back, Eli. they were alive.
You've had an interesting life.
I was playing Carl Klang's music when he first came out.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to turn from Carl Klang to Carl Klink. Right?
Well,
that's what'll happen to you.
Well, it's time to go, brother. Play the music.
All right, folks. This has been an entertaining show. We've been talking about our experience in CI. Choose your fights carefully and always invoke Yahweh's protection, whatever you do. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition.
Yeah, we'll do chapter 10 next week.
That's right. Yahweh bless everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.